I don't know where else to go.
Sure. I don't want to make up with you.
Okay. Okay. Talk quicker so we finish the show quicker. Okay. The particular sugya that I want to speak about tonight is actually a very real shaila that was presented to me. But I have to be, for the sake of intellectual honesty, the shaila was presented to me 12 years ago. So the only reason why I'm talking about it tonight is I cheated a little bit, because one of the issues I spoke on Eretz Yisrael this week was learning from sugyas of Maseches Menachos, and the Torah and full and mezuzos. They asked me to give a shiur on that. So I had to write, I wanted some halacha, nice topic in the sugyas that we're doing. So at the last minute, they wanted my makamos. So I wrote on some quick makamos about a sugya. And then when I came home yesterday and I realized I hadn't prepared the marmakovas yet for Bnei Shura, I said, well, I did prepare it. I just prepared it 12 years earlier, so we just still a little bit this year. So it's going to be, so it's not the shower that happened this week, but this year did take place next week. So I'm going to try to revamp it a little bit and for our purposes as well. So the sugya actually revolved around a very real shower that happened. It happened, it goes back about 12 years ago or so. And it took place in, during the summer when we were in one of the Tiolim, for instance, Lakolo, and we were spending overnight in a certain place. And it was Sunday and Monday, so it was just a late Monday morning in this particular yeshuv in the middle of nowhere, somewhere up in the north. So we get to laning on the Monday morning. So there were two minyanins. So the early minyan, the ones who were going hiking, and then the lazy people like myself who were davening at the later minyan. So when I came to the later minyan, so they told me that the first minyan had a crisis. The crisis was that the Sefer Torah had a problem. This was the only Sefer Torah in town. This is the only Sefer Torah in this part of the country. There's no Sefer Torah anywhere within the mile. So what was the problem? The problem was the two letters in the Sefer Torah that we're touching. And the thing is that there's two letters that are touching, that disqualifies the entire Sefer Torah. So they asked help, because what can we possibly do? Or we'll be able to lay, not be able to lay, and maybe we fix it, etc. So we searched within our Dalet Amos to try to find the sofa. There was no sofa around. There was no one who's qualified to do anything about it. So the task kind of fell onto myself to decide what, if anything, we're going to do, and then to actually implement what the solution was going to be. So let's see if we can learn this thing together a little bit and try to get a little better idea what do you do on the emergency repairs of the Sefer Torah with the non-professional, non-qualified people, including myself. So the sugya begins in the first environment code. Let's just do familiarize ourselves with what is the problem in the first place. So the two letters by the touching, so therefore what? That's what the Gemara says in the Nachat of Chotesim and Halash. Shtei Parshish and Mezuzma Akva Zuzum. If you look at Sabech and Akva, this is a quote right out of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in the third Bech and Menachos that the two Parshios of Mezuzma, the Mishnah has the exact same phrase about the four Parshios of Tefillin, that the Akva Zuzum, you have to have both of them. You can't take the attitude, let's say, oh, I only have Shema, I don't have Yom Shema, so I got half the mezuzah is ma'akev. You need both parshiyos, and even one letter is ma'akev. You have the whole mezuzah, the whole pair of children, and one letter is missing, so the whole thing is possible. So the mezuzah is pshita, you don't need a mishnah for. So that's what the mezuzah is. The mezuzah means, start from Shema, go to the end. Parshiyos to Tefillin means, start from the beginning, go to the end. If you're missing a letter, you're missing a letter. That's not the chesed shel mitzvah. So this is your right. The fact that one of the letters is missing, I don't even need a mishnah to tell it to me. I could have figured that out on my own. I'm reviewing the rabbi. The chiddush of the mishnah is that even if every single letter is there, but one of the letters is not that it's missing. It's missing a part of the letter. There's a one small fraction, a one small part of the letter that's missing. I would have thought, all right, most of the letters basically, you know, kamash one, even that's a problem. So the Gemara had a choice of many, many different nuances and pieces of letters that it could have picked on. So Gemara almost wanted to give the biggest chiddush, that the yud is the smallest letter, and the smallest part of the yud is what's called the kutzah shel yud. So the kutzah shel yud is one of the smallest shvichiks in the yud. I deliberately use that word because I don't want to define yet what it is, but some small, small part of the yud. So I would have thought, oh, come on, that's such an insignificant, such a trivial part of the yud. No, kamash v'lon. Even that's ma'akev. What exactly is this kutzah shel yud? There's a three-way machlekes and shorim. So if I had a blackboard here, you would see what a yud looks like in the Torah. So it has three different points there. It has the point over the tippy top, has the point on the bottom, on the left side coming down the bottom, then it has the leg, we call the leg of the yud. So those are three different opinions, what the Kutzah Shur Yud is. So we try the Chachim and we write tippy top. So this, we have all of them. We have the leg and we have the top and we have the bottom of everything to make sure that we're covered on all bases. So we're not even sure what the Kutzah Shur Yud is. The one thing we do know, if it's missing, it's possible. That's what the Gemara says, that the Kutzah Shur Yud is not accurate. The Gemara says, Hanami Pshita. The Gemara says, I would know that also. The Gemara says, that's partial, that the Kutzah Shur Yud is not accurate, right? Because if it's part of the Yud, so the letter's not there. So if part of the letter's not written, the letter's not written. The letter's not written. So you're missing a letter. You're missing a letter. Of course, it's going to be possible. Well, I don't know what I would have asked Pshita, but the Gemara just asked Pshita. Double partial adnoid that the Sevetarit Tefillin and Mezuzahs are possible. Some people's first introduction to the sugya of Kutzah Shur Yud is not from the Gemara in the Seches Menachos. When people come and lahavdil min hakedush min hachol, we should use some other phrase for lahavdil in the marshal we're going to give. But there was a famous work that was done in Hebrew literature back in the days of the Haskalah. Kutzah Shur Yud, yeah. There was a famous work that was out of Kutzah Shur Yud. That was the whole point of the story about Kutzah Shur Yud. It was all to make the Zionists of the Torah, make the Zionists of the Tamil Chachamim. There's a story about a person who received a get, and the person's name was Hillel, and that person spelled Hillel with Yud. Yep, and not spelled Hillel, they spelled Hillel with Yud. And the get was given, and then they realized there was a Kutzah Shur Yud missing, and they couldn't find the husband anymore. And the wife remained in Aguna, the Olam Vod, because of the Kutzah. The whole thing was the Zionists, and the Zionists, and the Zionists just to make fun of the rabbis. You see how much they ruin people's lives, even though just a little could show you. That was the point of the story. So besides the person who wrote the story was a tremendous father to be a chacham, he was also an amaret, because it's not even the din of the get is not even supposed to be written with the yod, and even if it's written without a yod, it's not mocking anybody. So yeah, it was factual. But the mice said that, so I remember when I was in high school, I think that was the first time I ever heard about the Kutzah Shur before, but Menacha, so somehow they had the things a little bit out of order, so we learned about the Kutzah Shur before. Anyway, but the din is the Havdol, the Lof of Dalva, so there is a din that a Kutzah Shur is not safe. In Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzahs. And the Gemara says it's Pshita. So the Gemara continues. The real point of the Mishnah is to tell me that not only is every letter written, and not only is every part of every letter written, but you could still have a problem. Even if all those things are true, if each and every letter is not surrounded on all four sides by cloth, this is a term that we use interchangeably with cloth. There's technically different kinds of animal skin. There's cloth, there's gvil, there's the susta. So we just, colloquially today, we call everything cloth today. We lost all those distinctions. But in theory, the word gvil is a little bit of a different meaning. So it comes to the Gemara and says that any letter in a Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzahs, that's not surrounded entirely by cloth, means i.e. the two letters are touching, that's possible. So that's Medi Achidish. Not a Medi. I wouldn't have known that. The letter's there. Each and every part of the letter is there. The fact that two letters are touching, big deal. Why would that be a problem? Kamash won the Mishnah that even that's a problem in HaTorah. Where does that come from? How do you know that's true? This might never explain to the source for us. The Tosfos tucked away in Masechet Gittin. The Tosfos says that the Makor is from the phrase Uchsaf Tam, Amuzus Pesach Visharecha. The Gemara says Uchsaf Tam means Ksiva Tama. It has to be a perfect Ksiva. Every letter has to be perfect. The Gemara says, let's say we have a Vav, that's a little bit short, looks like a Yod. We have a Beid, that's a little bit rounded off, now it looks like a Chaf. So the Gemara says that those letters are possible. Because if it's not Ksiva Tama, it's not perfectly clear, it's not obvious to anybody what the letter is, that's going to be a problem. So Tosfos writes, the part of the Gezeiras HaKosov of Ksiva Tama is not only does every letter have to look like its letter, like itself, can't resemble another letter, but every letter has to be distinct and special and stand on its own 2 feet. And if two letters are too close, if they're touching one another, that's a chisard of Ksiva Tama. So the bottom line is that's a din in HaTorah. But the Ksiva Tama is that each and every letter has to be absolutely clear, crystal clear, separate and distinct from one another. So it sounds like we have a problem. We have the Sefer Torah, and we have we have two letters that are touching, so it's like, don't do what you can do. It's possible, it's possible. What can you possibly do to fix it? So the answer is a very, very simple solution. Take a little razor blade, take a little scissor, take a little key, and take your finger down. Scratch out between the two letters. How far do the letters have to be apart from one another? The rest is kechut asari. You have a little like a thread, like a piece of hair in between the two. As long as the letters are not literally touching, that's perfectly okay. So just take a little something. Anybody can figure that out. Just scratch a little bit between the letters and call it a day. So that should be perfectly all right. So the problem is not so simple. Why? So that's the Gemara in the second of the Mem Kamos. The Gemara says in Gittin of Chafa Medalos Tan Rabbanan. And here we're talking about the writing of a get. Many of the dinim of writing for Gittin and for Torah told mezuzahs are similar. Tan Rabbanan v'chosav lo chokak. And when the Torah says v'chosav lo sefer krisus, you have to write a get. You can't carve out a get. You can't cause the letters of the get to come to existence by carving them out. The Gemara says, really? The name of the chakika lachsiva, is that really true? That engraving, carving, is not like writing? It's a whole complicated rhyme. And finally, the Gemara says in the last line, Lokasha the chaktochet ad chakireko. The Gemara says that depends. If, let's say, I have a stone, and then the person wants to write a get to his wife on the stone, and wants to engrave it like luchos, a beautiful, you know, engrave the get, that's technically called ksiva. Ksiva doesn't only mean to take deal, to take ink and put it onto a parchment. The ksiva means any formation of letters is called a maisa ksiva. So if I actively form the letter by either placing ink on a piece of paper on a parchment, or if I form the letters by engraving scratches into their stone, that's all considered to be a maisa ksiva. What is not the maisa ksiva is if I force the letters in a sense to come to existence by themselves. What does that mean practically? So we should have explained. Let's say, for example, a person has this big blob of ink on the cloth, on the parchment. And the person wants to save a little of ink. So instead of erasing all of it and starting over again, what he does like this, see, I'm supposed to write a yud. Well, I have a big blob anyway, so I'll take my razor blade and shave away a little bit from the bottom, maybe from the side, and I'll shave around a little bit. Then lo and behold, the yud will remain. So that's what the Gemara means. That's possible. You can't do that. You can form the letter through engraving, but you can't form the letter by removing the background and therefore bringing the letter into existence. So you have to actively write the signature. You can't, in a sense, passively bring it about by removal of other things. That's what's called chaktochos. So you simply just carved away the inside of the letter. That's nothing. That's possible in a Torah. So even though the Gemara only is talking about it, the Gemara never uses this phrase by signature in the rules, but all the Rishayim are saying that the same. Because this didn't exceed it, it didn't exceed it. That's what the parasha of Ksiv applies to all of the above. Just as in the Gittin, you have to actively write a get, and you can't do something that will bring about the get by itself. So it will be here. If you just simply carve away at something and now, lo and behold, the letter's there, that's not acceptable. So this raises a red flag about fixing a sefer. You have a sefer that is the base and the ration, gracious. Two letters are touching each other a little bit. So our initial reaction is just take a razor blade and just separate between the two. That's a problem because you're not writing the base and the ration. You're removing. Whenever you remove something, thereby, yachamaisa, forming a letter, that presumably should be a problem. So it sounds like we don't have an option. It sounds like we're in trouble. It's not enough for us simply to scratch out the letters. Oh, give me one in a second. Oh. So it sounds like, at first glance, we're going to change in a minute, but at first glance, it sounds like just simply to scratch out the letters is a problem. The best we could possibly do is erase the entire letter and then write it over again. That would be for sure okay. But the problem is I'm not qualified to do that. If I was a sofer, I could do that. I would trust myself to take a little razor blade, maybe very, very carefully, just make a little scratch. But I wouldn't trust myself to erase the whole letter and then try to write a letter over again. So the only option that was available to us in the absence of a professional sofer is the razor blade option, just to take a little scratch. But if you have Allah things to say, that's not acceptable. So Dr. Vishra raises the obvious objection. Wait a second. Who says that's a problem of chaktochos? What's the issue? Maybe one could argue that chaktochos means you can't form the letters through erasing. But here, the letters are here. The base is here. The reish is here already. Each letter, in a certain sense, independently is kosher. Now, what I'm trying to do is, I have a problem. I have a superimposed psul. The psul is two letters that touch each other, a psul. So maybe all I'm going to do is simply remove that psul. I'm not writing the letters. I wrote the letters. The letters were written 10 years ago. Except that the letters never apostle because they're touching one another. So maybe the removal of the touching is not the equivalent of writing ayadei chaktochos. And therefore, we can still salvage the same thing. That's really the question. The question is, what are the parameters of this statement that carving a letter, removing ink from a letter is a problem? Does that mean that only refers to the etzem writing of the letter that way? Or does it refer even to the fixing of the two letters that it touches? So the background for this sugya is the Gemara Masechta Shabbos and the third of the Mem Kamos. But here, the Gemara Shabbos is talking about a totally other area of Halacha. Ksiva is an area of halacha that appears in the Chukitin, in the Chukitin, in the Mezuzahs, and appears in the Chushabas. We spoke about this many times in the Chushabas, in Sunday morning, but whenever you find a principle in the Chushabas, any halacha in Shabbos, you have to always challenge and ask yourself, where does this similar principle appear in other areas of halacha? And then you have to compare and contrast, and the rules are the same. And you're spending a lot of time on Sunday mornings learning the sugyas of Bishul. When you learn Bishul in the Chushabas, you have to always ask yourself, are the rules the same for Basa B'cholov? Are the rules the same for Bishul Akam? Are the rules the same for Bishul Korban Pesach? Well, let's say, for example, you're learning sugyas of Zareya and Shabbos. Plant, you're not allowed to plant on Shabbos. Is the definition of planting the same for Hilchah Shmitah? Is it the same for Hilchah Kelayim as it is for Hilchah Shabbos? So over here, we're learning a sugya of Kosev, and we want to know, are the rules the same? Shabbos, Tefillin, Tikkun Torah, Mezuzos, Gittin, are all these areas the same? Maybe there are differences. So we have to learn the sugya now in the Sefer Shabbos, and eventually use this as a springboard back to our Shaila. The Gemara quotes a Braisa that says, Tanei Gios Achas Chayim. If a person has one letter written, and he fixes up that letter, there's a problem with that letter, and he corrects the letter on Shabbos, that's Chayiv Skivim. So the Gemara says, what? The din is, in order to be chayav and Shabbos, you have to write two letters. Two letters to make a bare minimum size of a word. If you just write one letter, a guy takes ink and writes the letter vav on Shabbos, that's not chayav skida. Maybe chas shia, maybe the life of the bottom, but it's for sure not chayav skida. So comes the Gemara and says, how can you tell me this story? How did the Braisa tell me if you fix a letter, you chayav? If you fix one letter, you chayav, kavachar, you're not chayav. If you put the for writing a letter, for sure you should be part of, if you're fixing the letters. And this is no. Amr of Sheish is Hachal Ma'eskinon, because you're not the Lagagos of Ches, the Soshne Zayin. But it means as follows, that by your erasing something, you cause two letters to come to existence. How does that happen? So here I have a letter, and all I have to do is just remove something from that letter. I fix on something, take a little scratch on a razor blade, and that hocus pocus turns two letters into existence. How do you do that? The letter Ches. And the next time you get an aliyah, take a look at the letter Ches in the Sefer Torah. The Ches is made up of two letters. It's made up of two Zions that are next to each other, a little crown in between. So if a person on Shabbos walks over to the Sefer Torah, and he takes out his razor blade, and he erases that little crown. He just takes an extra line between through that crown, so he just made two letters. It spells the word Zaz. Two letters, a Zion and a Zion. So that's what the Braisa means. He's Chayef. He's Chayef for doing that act. Even though he was Higia Osachas. He only fixed one letter, but hocus pocus, by fixing one letter, he turned into two letters, he's going to be chayav. That's what the Braisa is talking about. So there's a big question in the Rishonim, why is he chayav? That's chatochos. He just formed the letter through erasing. Don't we say that forming letters through erasing is not called the writing? So why is he chayav in the first place? So there's a big machlokes in Rishonim what the answer to that question is. So the Ran says that the question doesn't even get off the ground. The Rambam says the definition of writing for Chashavas is not the same as Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah and Gittin. Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah and Gittin, you have to actively write. When it comes to Chashavas, if at the end of the day you cause the letter to come into existence, yeah, I finished. It doesn't matter whether you carved the letter, whether you wrote the letter, you erased part of the letter. If bottom line, there was something that wasn't these letters, and you did some kind of a mitzvah for Chashavas to create these letters, it doesn't matter how you did it, that's called Kaysav and Shabbos. So the Ran argues in the Sefer Shabbos that the question of the Rishon is a meaningless question, that the reason why you chayav, it's Chag Teichus. It's irrelevant. Chag Teichus is a sugya Gittin and Sefer Torah from the Mezuzos. It's not relevant to Chashav. But the Rashba asks that same question. He's a different answer. The Rashba says that Chag Teichus means when you form the entirety of the letter through Chag Teichus here, the letters are basically there. Zion's basically there, and the other Zion's basically there. The only problem is they were connected with the crown. So when you remove that crown, that's called writing the letter. And that would be okay even in Sefer Torah. That would be a kosher Sefer Torah because you didn't form the letter through Chag Teichus. You simply fixed up a problem by invoking Chag Teichus. That's what the Rashba said. So there are other Rishonim who say that the Rashba is a big chiddush because the letter's puzzle the way it is, it's not two Zions, it's a Ches. You took a Ches and you made two Zions. And you made two Zions through erasing. That's not called the Kosher Sefer Torah. The Rosh says in the Sefer Gittin, what if you have a letter that's totally kosher the way it is? The days of Bereishis, it's completely, totally kosher. The Reish and Reish is completely totally kosher, and the two are touching, they're literally just touching themselves, the kosher, the kosher, the kosher. So the two letters haven't formed another letter. The Beis is independently kosher, and the Reish is independently kosher. So the Rush says, for sure, that's okay. That's not called chatzes. When you just simply erase between the two, so that's nothing, that's perfectly okay. So the bottom line is, going back to our Shiloh, so here we're sitting in this Yishuv somewhere, and we have the Sefer Torah in front of us, and we're trying to figure out what in the world should we do. Should we just put it away in that lane and call it a simple Sefer Torah? Or do we have a right just to simply take out a razor, take a scissors, take a key, and just make a little tiny, tiny surgery, a little tiny slip between the two letters, and call it a day? So we raise the Shiloh, give out, it's Chachtoiches, and now we're saying, no, not so simple. That's not called Chachtoiches. According to the Rashba, that's good. According to the Rosh, that's good. According to the Zisharim, that's good. Because you're not really writing the letter. You're fixing a pre-existing kosher letter. So the Shulchan Aruch happens to hold that's okay. The Shulchan Aruch task is in the fourth of the Mamet Kalmot. So the Shulchan Aruch says that in Nidbuka, two lines from the bottom, in Nidbuka Osli Os, Ben Karim Shetigam, Ben Achash Nimra, if two letters are touching, whether they're touching from the beginning, touching from now, possible, the way they are expensive. Vimgira Rifrid, if you simply just scratch out and separate them, kosher, since the letter was written kosher and it existed, it was theoretically independently kosher, that's not called chachteichas, to simply erase between the two. So it sounds like it's a done deal. We're great. We discovered a Shulchan Aruch, we're controlled through the days, we're good to go. What could possibly be wrong? What could possibly be wrong is as follows. Not everyone agrees to this in Rishonim. And the Mishnah Berurah, I didn't put this on the memory card, but the Mishnah Berurah has the following connection in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah says, we're not 100% sure what to do. It sounds like it's not a bad Svarah, that's Fisher's Svarah, the Rosh is saying it, a little bit Shulchan Aruch saying it. Not a bad Svarah, but there are Rishonim who don't hold it. There's no question that Rishonim will disagree with it. The Mishnah Berurah says, let's not forget, this is Hilchos Tefillin. This Shulchan Aruch is a Hilchos Tefillin. If you don't follow this kula of the Shulchan Aruch, these Rishonim, what's your other option? The other option, the only other way to fix up the tefillin would be to erase the entire letter and mamash start over again. So that's an impossibility in tefillin mezuzah for the following reason. Tefillin mezuzahs have to be written what's called kesidrim. They have to be written in order. You have to start with the first letter and write in order over and over. Let's say a person was writing a whole pair of tefillin, parshas of tefillin, and they got to the last word, and they realized they forgot the first vav back in the beginning. So all 15 hours to write the parsha, all goes into shemus. It's all puzzle, minatara. You cannot go and just stick in the...
You could erase the back, right?
The problem is that we can't erase the Shem Hashem.
Right.
So any mistake... Before Laman Yubri Mechav Aladam Hashem of Asechem, if you happen to look at and you made a mistake in those last words of Asechem, the same thing to Yishmael Lawrence, that you can erase. But anything before that, you're done, you're finished. That's one of the reasons why the person can say you have to get a cipher as well, you're Yishmael. And that's a tremendous yitzhar. Okay, just spent 15 hours writing a whole pair of film, then he goes, you made a mistake back 8 hours ago, so there's nothing you can do. And if he fixes it, Shalok, he did, no one will ever know the difference. So you have to really trust the Sefer. Anyway, get back to the story. So Mishnah Berurah says that if this Shiloh would happen of separating two letters in a pair of tefillin and mezuzahs, so the two options would be either just scratch between the two, or to mamish start all over again, erase it and then start again. So you can't do that. You can't erase it and start the letter over again because tefillin and mezuzahs is a possible Shalok Sidran. So Mishnah Berurah says, therefore, the Shulchan Aruch is willing to follow the view of most of the Rishonim, that it's okay. And just scratch a little bit and that's fine. But says the Mishnah Berurah, if the same identical Shiloh would happen, Nebuchadnezzar's Sefer Torah would happen to us, the Mishnah Berurah says, why do you have to be make what do you have to rely on the Shulchan Aruch? Just cross out the letter, erase the entire letter, and rewrite it and show my Israel. Why get involved? That's a Shiloh, the Shiloh deraisa. That is Sefer Torah's kosher, not. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in Hilchos Tefillah and Mezuzah, you have no choice. The funny thing, we end up being more makel in Tefillah and Mezuzah because there's no other option available. But Sefer Torah, and you have the other option, so do the other option, erase the entire letter and write it all over again and don't rely on this funny kula. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is. So now we're sitting up there in about a mile away from Lebanon and we're trying to figure out what are we going to do now with the Sefer Torah. So I'm thinking, and the Shulchan Aruch asking that it's okay. Mishnah Berurah qualifies and says it shouldn't really rely upon it. I thought under those circumstances you have a right to be mekel for a few reasons. First of all, I said, there's no one around who's going to fix. Who is going to fix the Tevet Torah? You're going to go find the balabata of this yeshuva, you're going to send it to Yerushalayim. It's never going to happen. So Tevet Torah is never going to get fixed. So I said that we're doing them a tremendous toif, but that at least it's going to be kosher according to the Ikra Din. So I said, I'll risk it. I'll take out our scissors. I'll do it very, very carefully. I'll just look between the two and call it a day. Ibn Mishabur says to refrain from doing that in the Tevet Torah. Mishabur said, because Epshur did it a different way. If the Mishabur really thought it was possible, he wouldn't let you get a film like this. He wouldn't let you put up the middle like this. So we have a Mikra that holds its kosher. As a Mita Chasidus, as a Lechet Chilus, the Hidr try to fix it in the more appropriate way by Sefer Torah. We don't have the option. The Epshur, you can't do it. Number two, this Sefer Torah in question, it happened to be a Sfaradi Sefer Torah. You know, a little standing up, you know, Sefer Torah. I said, a Sfaradi Sefer Torah, first of all, if it's written in a Sfaradi Ksav, they're not Meshubah to the Meshubah's Chumras. They're following the Shulchan Aruch. Sfaradi of them are, they don't pass the Meshubah. If the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch, that's perfectly okay. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, oh, by the way, it's only good in Tzol and the Sefer Torah. That's an Ashkenazi Shtikul Torah, Ashkenazi Chumrah. You don't have to invoke Ashkenazi Chumras on the Sfaradi Sefer Torah. So I thought that Mikra Din, they could follow what the real Din is, like the Rova Rishonim say, that's kosher the way it is, and finish in Gemara. Number three, the question is, and what is the tremendous downside of fixing the Sefer Torah? So even, let's say, worst case scenario, that it's possible. Let's say, according to one opinion, that what we did didn't really accomplish anything. Some Rishonim would say, you're not a lame for the Sefer Torah. The din is that a Sefer Torah has to be kosher. Every single letter has to be there. So it could be that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of right. So writing a Sefer Torah, that's maybe for Parsha Zohar, for reading Hakel, those kinds of things. Things that are real deraisas. The mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, Monday, Thursday, Shabbat, only the Rabbanan and the Pashas. So in one place the Rambam writes that you don't have to need a kosher Sefer Torah for learning. One place the Rambam says you do, one place the Rambam says you don't. It's Stephen Rambam. So we pask in Lechet Chila that you always try to have a kosher Sefer Torah when you're lame. But let's say push comes to shove. Let's say we lane, and then we realize we lane the whole parasha in the morning, and then by the afternoon we get the mincha. We realize in the next parasha there's a psalm in the Sefer Torah. You don't have to lane back shachris. You don't have to repeat the laning. But you have to rely on the Shemus Rambam that even a mistake in the Sefer Torah is good. So even the absolute worst case scenario, even if the Shemus Chumra is right, that you have to really, really erase the letters. No. According to some Rishonim, the Sefer Torah is kosher the way it is anyway, because the whole thing is only Chris towards Rabbani. It doesn't have to be up to par. It's not like Philemon says it has to be absolutely up to par. Therefore, I had a lot of reasons to believe that, since, again, if I would have been qualified, if I would have been qualified self for that, I would have insisted to do what the Mishnah Berurah says, or erase both letters, and then write them over again, Kedasa again. But since that was not an option at all, nobody was able to do such a thing, so we just risked it, and we just etched that a little bit, scratched that a little bit, and relied on the fact that it's that's both according to the Ikra Din. I thought to myself, who's ever going to find this? No one's going to ever see this. No one's going to ever know this. Who's going to ever come to this, except for entities like Kohaf, coming onto this yeshuv in the next 20 years. Then I noticed a few years later, there was actually a Pesach program that was being advertised in this particular yeshuv. So I should have done my service. I helped the Sefer Torah. Even if I did my service, I did a disservice, whatever you want to call it. But that Sefer Torah was based on the Tzach. It was based on the Shia. The Mikra did it with technology. Okay. So the bottom line is that every once in a while, mistakes happen in Sefer Torah. If you have a surfer available, try to get a surfer to fix it. If there's no surfer available, you have to figure out what can be fixed for the amateur or what can't be fixed for the amateur. And again, it touches on a lot of these sugyas, and get them into the term and Solon and Kassidra and reveal all these sugyas that mix together into the Solon to try to come up with hopefully what is the correct stock of the research. Okay.